right. Well, good morning, Life Point Church. Man, thank you guys so much for yet again coming and joining us here on Life Point Online. I'm so thankful that you choose Life Point Church to be your place to worship, your place to discover and explore new things about Jesus and to connect with him in a deeper and more intimate way, and connect with each other and do life together as Christ followers so that we can then go and be the church. Man, I'm so thankful that you're on this journey with us. And man, if this is your first time checking out Life Point Church, welcome. You are our honored guest. I'm so, so glad to have you here with us today. And if this isn't your first time, welcome back. And we're excited to hear what God has to speak to us all this morning as we work through our service for today. So as always, if you're watching live on Facebook right now, go ahead and invite your friends, invite your family, get that watch party going, and that would be awesome. We want as many people in here as possible. And if you're watching live or even after the fact, get in that comment section. Say hey to each other, man, connect with each other throughout the message, ask questions, encourage each other. It's just a great place for us to connect here online. So, but with that said, we're just going to jump right into our conversation for today. And we're in week 4 of our current message series called Seasons. And what we're doing in this series is we're looking at some of the most common as well as the most challenging seasons of life that we go through. You see, just because just like the seasons in nature, you know, winter, spring, fall, summer, all the different seasons, each of them have their own unique characteristics. And it's in experiencing and living through them all that allows us to fully appreciate and have an understanding of life and this journey. And it's the exact same way when it comes to these different seasons of life. Just that no matter how challenging or difficult they may be, they're critical. They serve a purpose, and they're important in our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual growth. We see that God uses these different seasons to make us better, to bring us closer to him, and to make us more like him so that we can do the things that he created us to do. Seasons, good, bad, and the ugly, are so important. And our key verse in this series is found in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, and in it we find that there truly is a season for everything, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, King Solomon said this. He said, "For everything there's a season, a time for every activity under the sun," which basically puts us on notice that in this life, as we journey through life, you are going to experience a lot. You could say we're going to kind of experience it all. Again, like I said, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the beautiful. We'll experience it all because there's a season for everything. And in the first 3 weeks of this series, we really focused in on some of the more challenging and difficult seasons of life, right? We talked about in season 1, we talked about seasons of change. We talked about in week 2, we talked about seasons of hurt. Last week, we talked about seasons of doubt. And if you miss any of those messages, you can go back to our YouTube page or on Facebook or on our website, and you can watch or listen to those there. You can definitely check those things out. But today, we're going to kind of shift gears just a little bit. You see, because so far in this series, we've talked about these seasons of life that we enter into that we don't like, that are painful, and we want to figure out how to move past them and get out of that specific season of life. But today we're going to talk about a season of life that we actually long to be in, right? We want to get into this season of life. And not only do we want to get there, we want to stay there. But the problem is that it can be a little bit tricky at times. It can get a little complicated to get in and stay in this season of life. And so today we're going to be talking about a season of joy. I mean, because think about it. Like, who doesn't want to be in the middle of a season of joy? Like, I know I do. As humans, we long to have joy. And joy is so important for us. It feels good and we like it. And it brings a smile to our face and laughter. And we love to have joy in our life. But not only does it feel good, like, it's actually really important for our overall health and well-being. Research has proven that living a life of joy will lower your blood pressure. It will lower your heart rate. Living a life of joy will lead to better cardiovascular health. You know, science has proven that living a life of joy will reduce the risk of having a stroke. It will strengthen your immune system. It'll help you to better manage and tolerate and work through chronic pain. And ultimately, living a life of joy will increase your life expectancy. So yeah, joy is awesome. I mean, I don't think anyone would disagree with me or argue with me if I say that everyone wants to have joy. Everyone wants to live in the middle of a season of joy. However, have you ever noticed how difficult it can be at times to actually get into a season of joy? And how incredibly challenging it is once you're there to actually stay there? I don't know about you, but that's been my experience. In fact, get in the comment section below right now and let me know if this pattern or this cycle sounds somewhat familiar to you. Maybe you're at this point in time in your life and honestly, everything's good. Like, your family's happy and healthy. You're loving the work that you're doing. Your relationships are flourishing. Financially, you're solid. You may not be rich, but you're comfortable. You're solid. Everything's getting paid and you're not stressing about it. And then maybe even you get some surprise in it and it just sweetens the deal. Like, life is good and you're actually in this season of joy. But then all of a sudden, this negative thought just creeps into your head. Maybe it's the thought of or the remembrance of a past flaw in your life or some addiction that you've wrestled with or that you've been kind of maybe thinking about jumping back to and that thought comes into your head. Or maybe it's a reminder or negative thought of a past failure. Or the last time that you got into a season of joy, everything, like, shortly after became 10 times worse. And so all these negative thoughts, like, start creeping in your head. And typically one negative thought leads to another negative thought, which leads to another negative thought. And then the next thing you know, panic, anxiety, fear, all starts to well up inside you. And the season of joy is nothing but a distant memory. It's gone. Or maybe for you, it wasn't a negative thought, but things were going well. And then all of a sudden you face some unexpected change, right? Or someone hurts you, or you start having these feelings of doubt. And while you're in this season of joy, you quickly fall headfirst into one of these other super heavy life seasons. And joy has disappeared. I don't know about you, but that has been a very common occurrence in my life. And from the people that I've spoken with and conversations I've had, I've seen this play out far too many times. Where you're in the middle of a season of joy and things are good, and then boom, you fall face first, free falling into chaos. And a lot of times for no other reason than just one little negative thought. Or or one little thing triggered it, and then you blew it out of proportion. In fact, this is so common that a lot of us, man, as soon as we start having just a little bit of joy in our lives, we quickly think, man, I'm nervous. I'm on edge now because things seem to be going good. And every time things go good, the bottom falls out and everything turns terrible. Like it just goes to crap. And so you kind of have this negative self-fulfilling prophecy that's like running through your mind. And every time you enter a season of joy, it brings this stress, anxiety, you panic because you're worried about losing it. And then the cycle spirals and continues. It's brutal. Like it legit is this brutal cycle, and it's been responsible for ripping the joy away from so many people. You see, as people, unfortunately, we tend to gravitate towards the negative. Like honestly, we're not always real good with joy. We're just not good at joy sometimes. And maybe that's because of the world and the society that we live in. Maybe it's because of the fact that we're constantly blitzed with negative media, like daily, if not hourly. Or maybe it's simply because of our own flawed humanity. There's a variety of reasons that we're not good at joy. But I think one of the foundational reasons that we struggle with joy is actually found in John chapter 10, where Jesus is yet again having a conflict with the Pharisees because there was this man who had been blind since birth, and he came to Jesus and Jesus healed him, and the guy could see for the very first time, and of course the Pharisees had something to say about it, right? This point in time that should have been a moment to celebrate, right? Like this, a season of joy because this man was blind his whole life and he can now see. It quickly turned negative because the Pharisees started grilling this guy and was asking him like, you know, yo, like, how can you see now? Who did this? Who does he claim to be? Who do you think he is? And they start grilling him with all these questions until they finally kind of kick him out. They quickly moved joy into a negative. And so Jesus, he sees this as a teachable moment, right? So then he begins to speak about who he was and how he takes care of and loves his people. And he used examples that everyone listening would be familiar with and that they would understand. So he uses the example of him being the good shepherd, us being the sheep, and how he takes care of his sheep. And he also addresses some of the pitfalls that his sheep have to be aware of. And Jesus says this, check this out. Again, we're looking at John chapter 10, verse 10. And Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Then in contrast, he says, I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. There's a clear distinction in this verse between Jesus and the failed and flawed leaders, human leaders of our time. He's making this clear distinction between himself and anything and everything that tries to step up and say, hey, put your hope and trust in me. And when it comes to joy, you need to understand and be aware that there are joy thieves everywhere. There are joy thieves everywhere. And this is why you'll be in the middle of a season of joy, and then in the blink of an eye, it's gone. Really, you look back and you're like, I don't know what happened. It's because there's joy thieves everywhere. Because the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And I think one of the greatest joy thieves for us, especially for those of you who have a personal and connected relationship with Jesus, your greatest joy thief is your spiritual enemy. It's Satan, because he already knows that if you're connected to Jesus and you have that personal relationship with him by grace through faith, when you're connected to God, the enemy, Satan, he knows that he can no longer have your soul. Like that's off the table for him. And he knows it. But if he could only rob you of your joy, if he could steal that from you, if he could just get you stuck in your head with this negative thought cycle, if he could make you miserable, then he knows while he can't have your soul, he could sideline you. He can prevent you from being and doing all that God created you to be and do. He can keep you off mission by robbing you of your joy. You see, our spiritual enemy, he wants to take us out in any way that he possibly can. And I think being a joy thief has been one of his number one and most successful destructive tactics in his attack, on our lives. And most of the time, it comes by way of these little bitty lies that he implants in us, right? The moment we have just the least little bit of joy creeping up, he drops a lie. Like, hey, really? You think you deserve to be happy? You think you deserve joy? Oh, you're finding joy in that relationship? Don't worry. They're probably just going to hurt you just like everyone else has. Oh, you're happy because you've got some financial security? Just wait. Your car's going to break down. Your air conditioning is going to go out. Something's going to happen. It always does. Oh, you think they like you? You're happy about that? No, wait till they find out who you really are. You're finding joy in that new baby that God gave you, that he blessed you with. You find joy in your child? Well, you shouldn't. You're probably a pretty bad parent. I mean, you've probably already messed them up by now. They're already on their road to failure, right? These lies get whispered into our minds, and it happens over and over again until we finally, man, we start to believe it. And when we start to believe the lies of the enemy, he begins to steal and rob us of our joy. And then we're immediately moved to the sidelines. But we need to understand that these are, in fact, lies. They are not true. They don't define us. It's not who we are. And if we want to enter into a season of joy and remain in that season of joy, which is actually possible, believe it or not, it is possible. But if we want to enter a season of joy and stay there, we have to begin to identify the lies and we need to destroy them. If we're going to wage war against this, we have to understand what the lies are, and then we need to put those lies to the test. And the way we put them to the test is that we replace those lies with truth. That's the only way to get rid of a lie, especially lies that you're struggling not to believe. You got to put it to truth and see what happens. So in order for us to get into a season of joy and stay there, that's exactly what we have to do. And that's what I want to spend the rest of our time with here quickly as we begin to wrap this thing up, is I want to look at just a few scriptural truths concerning joy that I think will help us in getting into the season of joy and remaining there. That'll help us to identify the lies and replace them with actual truth from Scripture. And so the first truth that we're going to check out is the fact that joy is for every season of life. Like seriously, joy is for every season of life, no matter what season you're in. Even if it doesn't make sense, like you're in that season of hurt and it doesn't make sense for you to have joy, joy is possible. There's room for joy because joy is for every season of life. In the book of James, he kicks it off by saying this in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He says, consider it pure joy. Not just consider it joy. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Count it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. So when you're struggling in that season of change, right, you can have joy knowing that God is at work. and that he's doing a new thing. When you're in that season of hurt, you can rest assured that God is building and developing something beautiful inside of you. You can have joy in the fact that you can know for sure that that hurt will not be in vain, but that God is going to do an amazing work in you, and you're going to turn out stronger on the other side of it. Or when you're in that season of doubt, we can count it pure joy because we know that clarity and truth is at hand. It's almost there. We're going to get there. We can have pure joy knowing that working through that season of doubt and struggling through it, it will create perseverance. And as a result, we're going to have a stronger and a deeper relationship with Jesus. And it's because joy is for every season of life. No matter how challenging it is, there's room for joy. The second scriptural truth that we find is that no matter how you may feel in the current moment, no matter how distant from joy you may actually be, there's still hope. There's always hope, no matter what you feel, because when we experience these seasons of joy, or we have a lack of joy, we can understand that and believe that joy is around the corner. If we're devoid of joy and we're struggling and maybe we're in one of our darkest moments, we can claim the truth that joy is truly around the corner. In Psalms chapter 30, verse 5, David wrote these words as a celebration of God's goodness and deliverance. He said this, "For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime." And then check this out. He says, "Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning." With God, there's always hope. There's always hope because he's God, because he's in control of all things, and it's because he is, in fact, good. And while that difficult season may last a while weeping, as he says, may last through the night, and it may be a long and difficult and challenging night, we can understand that it's just a season. Just like in winter, we know that spring is around the corner, right? And it's the same way when we're in these tough, dark, and difficult seasons and we feel like there's no hope, we need to just hang on. And if that's where you're at, don't give up. Don't quit. Keep grinding, because for you, joy may just be around the corner. I mean, it may be right there. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. So don't give up. Understand that joy is just around the corner. And I get it. Sometimes we get into some really dark spots where we feel completely isolated and alone. But that's when those lies start creeping in. And then we need to replace those lies with truth. And that we know that joy comes in the morning. And the final and third truth that we see in Scripture concerning joy, and it's the most important truth there is when it relates to joy. It's a truth that will help you to fully embrace and remain in a season of joy, and it is a truth that is the 100% foundation for both these other truths that we talked about already and every single truth about joy all throughout Scripture. And it's this, that joy is found in Jesus. True and lasting joy only comes through a person. And that person is Jesus. And while many other things claim to bring you joy, and some of them do a really good job of it, there's they all pale in comparison to the joy that comes in being connected with Jesus, because it's his joy that truly brings comfort. It's his joy that brings true peace. It's his joy that sustains us in those dark moments. It's his joy that we receive when we don't have any for ourselves. It's his joy that satisfies. It's his joy that is pure. It's his joy that leads to hope. And ultimately, it's his joy that lasts. You see, there's a lot of things in my life personally that bring me joy. My wife brings me joy. My kids bring me joy. Being around my friends bring me joy. Standing out on the beach, looking out at the ocean brings me joy. Playing golf brings me a lot of joy. But none of those things truly fill my joy full. It doesn't completely fill me with joy, because nothing can do that. Nothing can completely 100% fill you with joy except Jesus. In John chapter 15, we find Jesus teaching his disciples more about who he is and how they are to respond to who he is in their words and their actions. And he's teaching them these things, and he's doing so by using this analogy of him being the true vine and his disciples, us being the branches. And how that his disciples as the branches are to remain connected to the vine. Like, that's their job, just stay connected to the vine. And this passage has become so important and so meaningful for me over the past few years. And I really encourage you to go back this week and read through this. It's John 15. But for today, I want to point out what Jesus tells his disciples in verse 11. You see, he spends the first 10 verses telling them who he is and what they need to do in response to that. And then he tells them this, John 15, verse 11. Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Again, he says, "I tell you all this so that my joy will be in you, and then your joy may be full." And it's because there's a lot of great things that bring us joy in life. And there's nothing wrong with those things. As long as they're healthy and they're good, enjoy them. But it doesn't fill you with joy, lasting joy and true joy, like Jesus does. It's only through a personal relationship with him, a connected relationship with Jesus, that we can truly experience and remain in seasons of joy. I'm telling you all, it is possible. It's difficult. I get it. I'm right there with you, but it's possible. You can enter into and remain in seasons of joy, no matter what's going on around you. But you have to be in a relationship with Jesus, and you have to tap into and receive his joy. And when you do, it's available to you 24/7. And that doesn't mean that once you have this connected relationship with Jesus and you go into that season of joy, that you're not going to have problems. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect, and it doesn't mean that you won't actually enter into some dark seasons. But what it does mean is that when you enter into those tough seasons and those tough times, you won't be alone. And because you're not alone, because you're connected to the true vine, you can have hope. And you can have hope because you have the joy of Jesus. And his joy fills you completely to the brim. It's the most pure and beautiful joy you'll ever experience. I want to close our time by sharing these final words with you. And these are the same words that Paul spoke to the Christ followers in Rome, found in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And when I want to conclude by speaking these words over you today. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. My friends, this morning, may the God of hope fill you with all joy. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you so much for the fact that you fill us with your joy. In a world that is full of challenges, that's full of ugliness and difficulty, and you know, we read about and see hate all the time, and we can be bombarded with the negative, God. But you promise us that if we stay connected to you in a connected relationship with you, if we give you our lives, God, that you will not only give us salvation, not only would be eternally connected to us, God, but that you would fill us with your joy. And I'm so thankful for that. And so, God, I pray for each person here at this time that's listening, God, that you would bless them, that you would truly fill them with all joy. And that regardless of what they're walking through right now, God, that they would feel your presence. And that would just stir in them a little bit of joy. And may that take hold. And may that spiral into something beautiful, into a season of joy. And God, for those that may not know you as their Savior, God, that are here with us today, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to them, God, and may they know how much you love them and how you just long to be in connection with them. And that no matter where they're at or what they've done, that you're willing and ready to extend grace and love and mercy and salvation to them. God, we thank you for your joy, and we thank you for loving us. We thank you. Thank you for all that you've done and continue to do in our lives, and all that you continue to do here at Life Point Church. God, may we be your church and be a church of joy. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, all right, again, man, thank you all so much for spending time with us this morning and hanging out. I mean, I truly do pray that you all will be filled with joy. It's a gorgeous day out if you're watching on Sunday. And I think the rest of the week's supposed to be pretty nice. So really get out there and just celebrate and thank God for the joy that he's going to birth in you this week. As I said earlier, if this is your first time to Life Point Church, man, thank you so much for hanging out with us and checking us out. If you want more information, you can go to our website you can find my email address. Feel free to shoot me an email with any questions that you might have. I'd love to answer those for you. Or you can do the simpler thing and you can just drop a comment down and here on Facebook, or if you're on YouTube later, drop a comment. Let me know that you want some more information, or send us a direct message and we will 100% get back with you. And we'd love to connect. And the same thing, if you're interested in accepting Jesus as your Savior and moving into that connected relationship with him, or you have questions about that, hit me up with a direct message or an email or a comment, and I'd love to talk to you about that. Also, if you call Life Point Church home, or if you just want to just to bless us, we want to encourage you to continue to worship and celebrate with your tithes and your offerings. And you can continue to give on our website. So it's www.lpc502.com. You go there on the top right-hand corner, a Give Online button. You click it, and then it takes you to a safe and secure site where you can give. And but however you choose to give, you could also mail in a check if you want. Either way, man, we're just so thankful that you want to continue to support Life Point Church. And more importantly than that, I'm so thankful that you've chosen to be faithful in giving back to God just a portion of what it is that he's blessed you with. And we want to take that and we want to move the gospel forward. We want to reach more people in this community. We want to love on more people and help more people. And so I'm so thankful that you're involved in that action and helping out with that. So finally, again, I want to hit our reopen date is targeted at June 21st. And I'm telling you, I can't be more excited about that. But we want to take the proper time to ensure your safety and the safety of our community. So it's quickly approaching. We'll be there soon. And we are reopening on June 21st. So continue to watch out. We'll have some more information just a few weeks before the reopen with some details, some videos and things like that. So, but until then, stay connected with us here online and all of our social platforms. And we love you guys. And we will see you next week as we wrap up this series called Season, where we're going to talk about a season of rest. I love you guys, and we'll see you throughout the week. See you.